itself, church, is a very misused word. Very misused word in today's day and age. And let me say this by way of introduction before we start going into the all throughout the scripture. I'm going to find a launching point in 2 Timothy chapter 4 if you want to go ahead and turn there. But let me just say this. What the church is not, the church is not an organization. Amen? The government might treat it like an organization. The government might treat it like a nonprofit. And the government may minimalize the role of the church in everyday life of its citizens. But understand this, that the church of the living God is not an organization. It is an organism. Amen? It is a living, breathing thing that is very much alive. Amen? You may be confused with that when you go into some churches. It doesn't seem very alive at all. But I can tell you tonight that the church of the living God is alive and well. Amen? And God is going to call His church home one of these days. Amen? He's going to take His church out of here, and the tribulation will ensue, and the time of Jacob's trouble, or the 7 years of tribulation, the judgment of God will fall on the earth regarding Israel and things of that nature, and then the church is coming back. But understand this, that right now, this very moment, this day, the church of the living God is alive. It's Christ's bride, amen? It's not an organization, but rather an organism. It's not a club. It's not a social gathering, amen? Now, I believe, and I'm not against little country churches, amen? I'm part of one. But I believe that you can go all up and down these hills and hollers, and you can go to these little country churches, amen? And they treat them just like their social gatherings. It feels more like a family reunion than it does a church service, amen? When I come to church, I want to know that God's there, amen? When I come to church, I want to hear God's Word preached. I want to see Jesus exalted. I want to know that I've been to church, amen? It's not a social club or a social gathering or things of that nature. And you have that in these little country churches. I've been to a million of them. I've preached in them. And you come and the people come. They shake hands. You give your message. They say, gee, thanks, sir. And you go on your way. We'll see everybody again next Sunday. That's just how it is. And you go to these big churches that look like, I don't even know what they look like, nightclubs or car dealerships or whatever it is. Look like a coffee shop when you walk in. But they're just social gatherings. Amen. That's all these people treat them like they are. And they diminish the importance of the role of the church of the living God in this world in which we live. You realize that the church of the living God is the only hope. The body for Christ in this present day is the only hope that this entire world has of hearing the gospel. The only hope that lost sinners ever have of escaping a fiery damnation and of hell for eternity is hearing the gospel, and that's going to come from the church. Amen. I'm glad tonight for the church. Amen. I want to preach just a little bit. If the Lord will help me, I got 4 or 5 or 6 points, something like that. I didn't even really check or count them, but I got a few things I want to say tonight about a biblical church. A biblical church. Amen. The first thing that I'd like for us to notice is that a biblical church will expound the Scripture. Will expound the Scripture. What your Bible say right there in 2 Timothy chapter number 4? It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. The Word. And I got many of books back there in the parsonage on preaching, and many of people have written great articles and great things about preaching, and I believe that you can listen to those things and hear them and glean from them and get good stuff from them. And I've always heard people try to say, you can't really nail down preaching with a definition. And there was this definition I had to remember for Bible college or whatever, and they said it's a teaching from a platform of authority with the intent to persuade. That's a definition that I had to write down on that paper. And I've heard people say this, and I've heard people say that of preaching. And I began to think, as I was preparing for this message, about what preaching really is and what expounding the Scriptures really is. Because understand this, a biblical church is going to be built on preaching. Amen? Amen. When I go to a camp meeting, when I go to a church service, I don't want the aesthetics to be the premier reason that people are there. I don't want there to be, hallelujah for potlucks and good food, but amen, that ought not be the reason that we go to church, amen?
Amen.
And I love good godly gospel singing, but when I go to a church, it grieves my heart when they sing for an hour and a half and then the preacher gets up and shares a little homily for 10 or 15 minutes and you go home. That's not why we come to church, amen?
Amen.
You look at Taze Valley, West Virginia, and that church, and you look at everything that that man has invested into that ministry, and one thing that has remained a constant through Dr. John Smith's ministry is that he has made preaching premier at that church. Amen. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. I believe that God right here in His Scriptures gives us the best definition of preaching that we have. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Amen?
Amen.
And understand this about preaching. If your preaching is going to help a church, if it's going to grow a church, it has to be balanced. There has to be a balance to your preaching. If the only thing you do from the pulpit is reprove and rebuke, amen, you're going to have a bunch of wounded Christians who won't do anything for God. If the only thing that you do from the pulpit is exhort, amen? Well, many a times we as preachers, we coin these terms, glory preaching and gory preaching, amen? You got gory preaching where the preacher gets up and he bashes you over the head and he beats you to death and he sends you home. He'll gut you, but he won't stitch you up, amen? Then you have glory preaching where the preacher comes in and it seems like every message is just a happy sugar stick message. It's just a feel good about yourself and feel good about life. Everything's okay kind of message. And I'm telling you, there's sometimes you need glory preaching. There's sometimes you need gory preaching, amen? But one thing that remains is that your preaching has to be balanced, amen? Many a times we find throughout the Scripture that men would preach and they would exhort the brethren to long-suffering and to patience and with the grace of God. And other times, you read in the book of 1 Corinthians, brother, it's going to step on your corns, amen? It's going to be rebuking you. It's going to be pointing out things in your life. I got in the Bible today and God convicted me of some things in my heart, amen? I'm glad for the Word of God. And one thing that we have to realize about the Word of God and the whole counsel of God is that from front to back, this book has to be preached, amen? Paul didn't tell Timothy, he didn't say, Paul, preach your opinions. He didn't say that. He didn't say, Paul, preach your own preferences. He didn't say that, amen? He said, preach the Word. Preach the Word. God help us, Brother Larry, if we ever get behind this pulpit and we're preaching something that's not coming from the Word of God, amen?
Yeah.
You ought to pray for these preachers. You'll come to notice, and if you keep me around a little while, that I'm real particular about who preaches, amen? Not just anybody's going to lead a devotion, not just anybody's going to preach, because I want to know for certain that they're going to preach the Bible, amen? It said, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We find a lot of churches that take Baptist off the name, and we find a lot of churches that identify themselves today as non-denominational because they don't want to preach doctrine, amen? The Bible commands you and I through this Word right here to base our life. All matters of faith and practice should come from the King James Bible for you and I in here tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Doctrinally speaking, that is something that has to be preached. A biblical church will expound the Scripture. And if you expound the Scripture, it will expose sin. Amen? You don't have to turn there with me, but in John chapter number 12, we'll get on that in just a minute. I want to go back right here to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Amen. I want us to understand what preaching is.
Amen.
Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, I could get up here and I could preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and preach and teach nothing but doctrine and dry this place out quicker than you've ever seen.
Amen.
I could get up and I could preach grace and I could preach long-suffering and I could preach it the way the Bible says to preach it, but if I'm not giving anybody any doctrine, if I'm not giving anybody any substance, amen, if we're just fed by the milk of the Word and not the meat of the Word,
amen,
it'll produce a bunch of weak, carnal Christians, amen?
Amen.
A biblical church, everybody say it with me, will expound the Scriptures. Amen? Preach the Word. I'm thankful for Bible preaching. I need it. Amen? John chapter number 12. And not only, so this will be the second thing we notice about a biblical church, not only will it expound the Scriptures, it will exalt the Savior. It will exalt the Savior. John chapter number 12 and verse number 30. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And listen to what Jesus tells His disciples. "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ has to be exalted in our church services. Amen? Amen. Many a times what you'll find a common denominator of these churches on TV and these televangelists and things of that nature. I'm not saying everybody on TV is wicked, but what I'm saying is a common denominator that you find among a bunch of these television program preachers that you find on these big major networks, you know, these millionaire preachers, you'll find that they'll preach, but they're not preaching Jesus. They're preaching you, you, you. It's all about you. Live the best life you can. Be as healthy and as wealthy as you can. Or they'll preach me, 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 you, me, you, me, you, me. They don't leave any room for Jesus.
Amen.
I saw a young lady put a tweet out on social media earlier this week. I liked it. She said, "If you're not full of Jesus, it's probably because you're too full of yourself." Amen?
Amen.
We don't leave any room for God in our lives because we're too full of ourselves. When somebody comes to Crossroads Baptist Church and chooses to join us for a service, I want them to know it's not about the preacher. It's not about the Martells. It's not about the Rices. It's not about Miss Dameron. It's not about any of us in here this evening. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is all about Him.
Amen.
The Bible says that in all things He might have the preeminence. Amen? Yours and mine, your mind spot is not at the top of the totem pole, so to say, Amen. In a church. Amen? Our job is just to listen to God and be led of the Holy Ghost and preach Jesus the best way we can. Amen?
Amen.
But the Bible said, and Jesus told His disciples, He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That is a promise. That is a promise. You know my favorite preaching is the kind of preaching that God gives me exactly what I need, but it always ends up tying me back to Jesus. It always ends up bringing me back to the cross. One of my heroes, I wish I'd have got to meet him. I'll get to meet him in heaven one day. But one of my heroes, the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, Dr. Harold Seitler, they said that on his pulpit, the words were inscribed right above where he would set his Bible, "We would see Jesus." He said that was a reminder to let me know that what I got up in that pulpit, what I preached, it better have something to do with Jesus. Amen. It better be pointing those people to Jesus. A biblical church will exalt the Savior. In Ephesians chapter number 3, the Bible tells us, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let me echo that last word one more time. Amen. Right there. How many times do you read in your New Testament where Paul is dealing with these churches and he gets in this problem and he says, you're wanting to preach Paul, you're wanting to preach Apollos. You say, "Well, I was baptized of Paul and I was baptized of Apollos." And Paul, I mean, he was probably a frustrated guy. He said, I remember I was reading in 1 Corinthians, he said, "I thank God that I didn't baptize any of you." Amen? He said, Paul might plant the seed or sow the seed, but he said, God waters, or Paul plants the seed and Apollos waters, but God brings the increase. Amen?
Amen?
A church that preaches Jesus, a church that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, is a church that's going to grow. Amen? A church that's not going to grow is a church that says, "Well, it's all about the deacon board, or it's all about so-and-so, or it's all about the preacher, and it's us four, and it's no more." Amen? That's not a church that's going to grow. A church that's going to grow is a church that's going to continue to lift up Jesus.
Amen.
A biblical church will expound the Scriptures and we'll exalt the Savior. John chapter number 4, if you want to turn there with me. A biblical church will embrace the Spirit.
Amen.
A biblical church will embrace the Spirit. And I'm not saying that every single church service is going to get slap silly. Because it wouldn't be as special if that happened.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, every once in a while you wonder if people can smile, amen? And I know not everybody shouts, not everybody hoops and hollers, not everybody lifts up holy hands, not everybody testifies, and not everybody's going to get emotional and cry on you. But I'm telling you, a biblical church, amen, is going to embrace the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The best thing that you can do in a church service for the person that's sitting next to you is listen to God. If God tells you to testify, you come up off of that pew and you testify, amen. If God tells you to shout, amen, you shout, hallelujah. I remember when I first got into church and I really got into a service where it cut loose and people started praising the Lord and I didn't know what to do. I wasn't uncomfortable, but I wasn't used to it, amen? And I think I mentioned this the other day, Sunday morning when I preached. I preached on something to sing about. And I remember the first time, Brother Larry, you know, you see people worshiping like that. You see people praising like that. And you want to get in on it, amen? If you're saved, you ought to want to get in on it. But you can't do it in your flesh.
Amen.
You can't do it to be seen.
Right.
You can't do it to try and create a false atmosphere or stir up emotionalism. And believe me, I've been in enough services where people have done that and it will just make you sick. But don't hold back if God is blessing your heart and you want to let somebody know, amen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sometimes that joyful noise can manifest itself in many different ways, amen. I remember the first time I really cut loose and started praising God. I was 19 years old. I was sitting on the front row. I remember it was the first service where I was like, I'm sitting up on the front row today. And preacher, he was right above me and he was preaching and it was a good time. And I got up there and they had the youth choir come up and sing at Taze Valley. And they got up and they sang this song called I Stand Redeemed. That was the name of the song. And the lyrics go something like this. He says, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When he looks at me, he sees the nail-scarred hands. And man, I'm telling you, when they sang that verse, God was squeezing on my heart. And God was reminding me of just how weeks and months before that I was out in sin and I was out running the bars and I was out drinking liquor and I was out doing drugs and I was out and I was involved in all that kind of wickedness. But now, when God looked down at me, he saw the nail-pierced hands of Calvary's cross. And I wanted to say something cool, I'm sure. I wanted to say hallelujah. I wanted to say amen. I wanted to say glory to God. But I stood up, it came out something like this. I just said, woo! That's all I had in me to say. But it felt good. I tell you, it felt good. Brother Mark Stroud, he's a preacher down in Georgia. He'll pray, he'll say, man. He said, man, we got flipped over in the Holy Ghost. We started praising the Lord. We started shouting. And understand me here tonight. I understand that's not going to happen every single service. You know? But what I am saying is this. A biblical church is one that's unashamed of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Unashamed of the presence of God. And if God gets on your heart and you want to shout and you want to praise the Lord and you want to testify, you do it. Amen? Don't let me get in the way. If God deals with your heart in the middle of the preaching, right smack in the middle of the service, you come up to the altar and pray. I promise you, it's not going to bother me, amen? I'm just trying to listen to God. I'm just trying to follow God. And it makes it easier for me to follow God when everybody's following God, amen? A biblical church is one that will embrace the Spirit. The Bible says in the 100th Psalm, make a joyful noise to the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing, amen? It ain't about what you sound like when you sing.
Amen.
Amen. It ain't about what you look like. It ain't about what you sound like. It's about what's in here.
That's exactly it.
Come before His presence with singing. God looks down and He sees a group of folks getting together for Wednesday night prayer meeting at Crossroads Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. And He sees them singing their heart out for Him. He sees them trying to glorify Him and lift Him up. Amen. They're embracing the Spirit of God. What have we seen so far? The biblical church expounds the Scripture and exalts the Savior. It embraces the Spirit. And last but not least, go with me to Hebrews chapter number 10, and I'll finish with this thought. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 23. When you get there, say amen. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. Listen closely. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. A biblical church is going to exhort the saints. Amen. Let me just say this from a standpoint of a preacher. Brother Larry, you got to help me out right here. It's not just the preacher's job to encourage the church members. Amen. It's everybody's job to encourage one another, to keep one another encouraged, to keep one another filled up, to keep each other in the love of God. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible says exhorting one another. If it was Paul's job alone to exhort all the New Testament churches that he helped plant and start and all the converts that he had saved through his ministry, he would not have been able to do it. It takes every single one of us. I've started to notice, as the Lord would lead me in my preaching, and I'm starting to notice a common theme in the preaching. It's that this church has to come together and help one another, amen, and exhort one another and strengthen one another. The Bible says, so as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know where I want to be here? You know where I want to be tonight? I want to be in church. I want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to be with the people of God. I want to be where I can get encouraged and strengthened from the Word of God.
Amen.
A biblical church will exhort the saints, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. When you come to church, don't try your best not to leave the service with any regrets.
Amen.
Don't come to church with something on your heart and say, you know, I got something that's on my heart. I want to tell Miss Susie before I leave church tonight. And you get out, you get busy, and you get out of those doors, and it goes unsaid, and you're robbed of that blessing. You know, exhort one another. Call one another up on the telephone, amen. Call me up on the telephone. I'd love to talk with you, amen. I like to see you guys on days other than Wednesdays and Sundays, amen. Why? Because it exhorts one another. That's a spiritual gift. You know that?
Exhortation
is a spiritual gift. I can think of people in this room, just about everybody in this room, I can think of at some time or another, God has used them to share an encouraging word with me exactly when I needed it. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
That's an important thing. Can you imagine if a church didn't have that? God have mercy if we just come to church and we sit in our pew and we wave at people from afar, you know, so-and-so. We don't know their names. We don't know their story. We don't know what's on their heart. You know? We have our cliques. Amen. This church is little enough. If we got cliques in this church, we're in big trouble, amen. But I'm being serious, though. You want discord sown among the brethren? You want a church to split quicker than anything? You get these cliques, you get these friend groups, you get these people that, you know, I'm only going to shout if they sing, or I'm only going to shout if he preaches, or I'm only going to do this and that if they do that. Man, we'll mess ourselves up. God called us to exhort one another. Not only will exhorting the saints, not only will it help, but it will encourage service. Amen. That's the last mark of a biblical church. It's the last thing I'll preach on, and I'll let us go. It will encourage service. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore. Remember a few weeks back on Sunday morning, we preached out of Mark chapter number 6 on the leper of the Lord, and we talked a little bit about that word beseech. Paul wasn't just saying, hey, I'm just asking you. Hey, I'm just throwing this out there. Hey, I'm just going to mention this. I'm just going to make this suggestion. Paul says, I am begging you with every fiber of my being, with everything in me. He says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, he's talking to the church, amen, that by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, I beg you to serve God.
Amen.
And I've been there. I've been in that pulpit. I've been in that office and tried to counsel somebody and beg somebody to make the right decision, to beg somebody to live for God and beg somebody to serve God till I was blue in the face. Because I know what it can do for you. I know when you encourage a brother or sister in service, amen, when you encourage them to do something for God and you see them take that step of faith and you see them go out on faith and decide they're going to make a conscious effort to serve God and you see the joy that it brings them and the happiness that it brings them, amen?
Amen.
When I got out of that lifestyle of wickedness, living like a devil, hey, I got addicted to serving the Lord. I got addicted to the ministry, amen?
Amen.
I could not get enough of doing something for God and having the Holy Ghost bear witness in my heart that I was accomplishing something for the glory of God. And if He can do it for somebody like me, if He can use a vessel like me, He can definitely use you tonight. A biblical church will exhort the saints and it will encourage service. The latter part of that scripture that we just read from Romans 12, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we can make our minds up tonight that we're going to come together and serve God and live for God and exhort one another and encourage one another to service, there is no telling what God can do with this place. There's no telling what if God gets a hold of this place and God gets a hold of people's hearts and we get in one accord and we decide that we're going to do something for God, we cannot contain all the blessings God pour on this place.
Amen.
That's what a biblical church is. Amen. It's not a museum for saints.
Amen.
It's a hospital for sinners. It's a place where we come to get encouraged. It's a place where we come to get refreshed. Amen. And there ain't no such thing as a perfect church.
Amen.
I tell people if I try to get people to come out to church and I can tell that they don't want what I've got, they don't want what religion has to offer them, you know, I tell them, our church isn't perfect. I know because I go there. Amen? God help us to have a biblical church.
Amen.
That's my prayer for this place. Is that God would do with it as He pleases and that He would help us to stay humble and to stay faithful and not to let pride and personalities and petty quarrels get in the way of what God is doing. Amen?
Amen.
You say, preacher, we're a small church. We can't do a whole lot for God. To a young lady last Sunday night,
amen,
it means everything that this church had church on Sunday night. That's going to change her eternity, amen?
Amen?
It means everything that while that piano was playing, she was shaking hands with people who were smiling, telling her that she was that they were glad that she was there. You know what she told me? She told me, occasionally, I'll get to the church on Sunday morning, I'll get here about an hour and a half before church starts. And I'll just walk around and I'll pray and I'll make sure that y'all aren't going to burn up or freeze to death and take care of all those things. And I'll walk around and sometimes I'll just walk through the pews and pray for each of you and pray for your families and pray for your needs. And that particular Sunday morning, I walked out on the front porch and I was just standing there. And I was praying in my spirit. I was looking at all the cars passing by on Route 60 right there and I was praying. I said, God, I know we're going to be low today. I know there's people out of town. Would you send some new people our way? And after that Sunday morning service, that young lady, she walked up to me and she said, you know what? She said, me and Mom were eating at the Waffle House. She said, I saw you standing there. And she said, I haven't wanted to go to church in a while. She said, the kids I go to church with are mean to me. I said, they bully me. I said, they call me names. They don't ever want to invite me to anything. They don't ever want me to be a part of anything. She said, I saw you standing out there. And she said, I told Mom I wanted to go to that church this morning. You know what a biblical church can do for somebody's life? Who's to tell what kind of thoughts were going through that young lady's mind?
Amen.
Who could tell what kind of struggle she was going through? To God, they're just as big as any struggles we go through.
Amen.
Monday night, I was at a camp meeting. I'm done preaching. I'm just going to share a little bit of my heart with you tonight. Monday night, I was at a camp meeting, and my friend preached, and he preached on Joshua. He preached on when the captain of the Lord's host came before Joshua and gave him the orders how they were going to take down the walls at Jericho. And Joshua humbled himself. I'm talking about a mighty man of war. I'm talking about a man they still study at West Point Academy today because he was one of the most brilliant strategic military minds this world has ever known. A man who was given oversight over millions of people, literally a nation, while they wandered in the wilderness. And when God told Joshua to take Jericho, he sent the captain of the Lord's host. And you get in your Bible, amen. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Captain of our salvation, Hebrews, captain of the Lord's host, that's the same man, that's Jesus Christ. From front to back of this book, it's about Jesus. And he told Joshua, he said, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? And he said, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thy stand is holy ground. And he talked about Jericho, and I've been there and I've seen the base of the stones where the walls would have fallen and the excavation they brought up. And I've walked on that ground. I know what it's like. And it's rocky and it's dry and it's dirty and it's not somewhere you want to put your bare foot on. That preacher, he kind of took a different angle at it. He said, God asked Joshua for his comfort zone. He asked him for what made him comfortable. And he took that shoe off. And when he stepped out on holy ground. And for the past 4 years of my life, I never thought of it this way until Monday night. When God called me here, He called me out of my comfort zone. He called me away from a church where I had all my friends. Where I had all my family, where I had everything I needed. That was my comfort zone. That's where I was comfortable. And God called me out of that. You know, there's a lot of churches that wouldn't have given me a chance. There's a lot of preachers that aren't like Pastor John that wouldn't have given me the time of day. But I thank God for a biblical church because it changed everything for me. I wonder how many of you tonight, you want this to be a biblical church. You want this to be that soul winning station where people know they're going to preach the gospel. People know they're going to love them. People know they're going to help them. They know they're going to take care of them. Amen. There's some marks, and we've gone through the Bible. We've talked about what a biblical church is. And I encourage you tonight, Wednesday night prayer meeting, won't you pray that God will make this place a biblical church? Won't you pray that I wouldn't have my hand in it, that you wouldn't have your hand in it, but that God would just take control of this place and lead us as He sees fit? That's what I want tonight, is for this to be a biblical church. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, Miss Ruthie's coming to play the piano. I understand some are discomforted and providentially hindered right now and can't come to the altar. But I'll tell you what would be real good is if some of us just come to the altar tonight and pray and ask God to do something in this church. Ask God to do something in your heart. And let me tell you, if I was you, I'll tell you what my prayer would be. I'll tell you what my prayer is. is, God, do something in this church and let it start with me. Let it start in my heart. I'm not saying me as in the preacher. I'm not saying pray that it starts in the preacher's heart. I'm saying pray it starts in your heart. Pray that God will use you to make a difference in this church. My God, I believe everybody in here has made a difference in this church. I believe everybody in here has encouraged me or helped me or exhorted me to service in some way or some fashion. I thank God for you. But you just keep praying that God will send those sheep, that God will send those sinners on their way to hell that they might hear the gospel and be saved by the good grace of God. But to pray tonight.